Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
This is The Gerry Callahan Show.
All right, I'm going to start this edition, a special edition of The Callahan Show, with a preview of tomorrow morning's Morning Joe. All right, you ready for this? Last night, Joe Biden, the 45th, 46th president of the United States, the greatest president we've ever had, delivered a fiery, feisty, passionate, energetic speech. He knocked it out of the park. He hit a grand slam home run. He was amazing. He was just dreamy. Oh, the bar was low and he leaped over it. He was articulate. He was forceful. He was passionate, a lot of passion. And he made the case for four more years. What do you think? That's the same preview. That's the same review you're going to get on CNN, on the New York Times, the Boston Globe, the Washington Post, ABC, NBC. Get ready for the greatest day of gaslighting in network TV history. Now, back to reality. We're doing this at midnight after the last Joe Biden State of the Union address. We just watched it. We took notes. We paid attention. And we can tell you unequivocally, it was an abject disaster. It was embarrassing. It was uncomfortable. They pumped the old man full of drugs. And I think they overdid it. Let me just say,
yeah.
The Adderall was overdone here because he was angry. He was unhinged. He was loud. He was yelling. He was bitter. He was cranky. He was disjointed. He was mumbling. He was slurring. He was shouting. It was a national embarrassment. If you're not embarrassed at the performance of your president last night, you weren't watching. The greatest lie, I think, in political history, there's been plenty of lies, especially in the last 3 years. But this guy's been around for 50 years, and we've been told he's a regular guy. He's regular Scranton Joe. He's likable. He's affable. He's a guy you would like to have a beer with. He's none of that. He's none of that. He's been around 50 years, and we've been lied to the whole time. This is one bitter, angry old man. You throw in a little dementia, and what you got is what you saw last night. You saw a guy on the attack from the beginning, yelling for some reason. I assume when he practiced for 4 days at Camp David, he wasn't yelling the whole time. I assume it was the noise in the arena that made him crank up the volume, but somebody should have given him some hand signals and said, bring it down a notch, Joe. He just wouldn't stop yelling at us. And even when he was trying to be conciliatory and reaching across the aisle, he couldn't stop shouting. It was uncomfortable to watch. It was uncomfortable to watch him try to go back and forth with the hecklers in the audience. And we're going to get to the guy up in the balcony who was escorted out after heckling him. You're not going to believe who that was. But Marjorie Taylor Greene did what we all expected her to do. She came in, she wore a shirt that said, say her name, Lake and Riley. We all were wondering, would Joe Biden say the name? Would he say the words, Lake and Riley? She's the nursing student who was murdered by an illegal alien, who was let into this country by Joe Biden, who was allowed to stay in this country after committing crimes by Joe Biden. Lake and Riley would be alive today if Joe Biden were not the president. That's a fact. So Joe Biden does not want to talk about Lake and Riley. Democrats don't want to talk about Lake and Riley. They were forced to. He was forced to. He was given a pin with Lake and Riley's name on it, and he took it up to the podium. Then when he got around to talking about immigration, the border, which was 40 minutes into the speech, mm-hmm. for the record, he talked about Snickers bars before he talked about the border. He talked about snacks. He talked about Sweden and Finland and insulin and a million other things before Ukraine. He got around to the biggest issue, the number one issue in this campaign, the number one issue everywhere in the country, illegal aliens, immigration, the open border, crime. So he was forced to address this. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, bless her heart, immediately started heckling him. Say her name. And he was forced to pick up the pin and say her name. Well, not exactly. He said the name of the USC football coach, you know, rest in peace, Lincoln Riley. But he addressed the issue. He went back and forth with Marjorie Taylor Greene. And that would be, to me, the highlight of the whole speech. The speech was 108 minutes long. It was 108 minutes of that old dementia-riddled neighbor telling you to get off his lawn. That's what it was. And you will be gaslit today and every day from his supporters, his campaign staff at the networks on CNN, on MSNBC. They will lie to you and tell you he did a good job because he had energy. You know, you can't say he was Sleepy Joe, and I'm not. I'm not saying he was sleepy. He was cranked up like, I don't know, like he had done an eight ball before taking the podium. But let's get to the exchange.
He didn't even let the Speaker of the House introduce him. He just started talking.
That's true. Right. The Speaker, Mike Johnson, who, by the way, did a good job. He didn't clap. He didn't stand up. He didn't rip up the speech, which would have been appropriate. But he rolled his eyes. He gave him these looks. He shook his head. I think Mike Johnson did what he should have done. But he was getting ready to introduce the president, which is his job. And Biden jumped the gun because he was so cranked up and didn't allow it, didn't allow the normal protocol. Took to the mic and immediately started talking about Ukraine. Immediately started talking about NATO and Putin. And you go, what? I mean, I understand he was going to talk about Ukraine, but that is not the number one issue in anybody's mind, unless it's somebody, you know, with an interest in Ukraine, like Hunter Biden or Mitch McConnell. But most people, they would prefer to talk about the border, the economy, whatever. Immediately talking about Ukraine and NATO and Sweden and Finland, pointing out the Finland, whatever, president. Anyway, it took him...
That was Sweden who joined NATO this morning, and he called them a nation of great warriors or some shit.
Like, you're going, what? That's somebody decided that that's the thing to start with? Mm-hmm. Sweden? What? Anyway, after going through, you know, any number of things, issues and rants and talking about snacks and shrinkflation, which I don't know where that comes from. You insult people when you talk about their Snickers bars. He actually said the Snickers bars don't have as much Snickers in them. In a State of the Union address, the president said Snickers don't have as much Snickers in them. I can't imagine any household in America. Even Joe Scarborough had to be rolling his eyes going, what are we doing here? But he eventually got around to the border at 10:06. He was 25 minutes late. 40 minutes into the speech, he gets around to the border, and immediately Marjorie Taylor Greene jumps into action and tells him to say her name. He sort of kind of does, but he even screws that up. He was so foolish to engage the hecklers and let them get to him. I don't know why they didn't prepare for that. Say, listen, Don't let them bother you. Just keep going with the words on the screen. Just keep bumbling and stumbling over those words. I mean, there's a guy, by the way, who counts the slurs. He counted the slurred words, and it was like, I don't know, 80 words that he mispronounced. And they're on the damn teleprompter. He is the worst teleprompter reader I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. He stares at the thing and he still screws it up. He screwed up, you know, almost every line. There was a stumble, which, you know, Job Scarborough somehow will make that seem, I don't know, folksy. He was folksy. But let's get to the exchange, because this was the highlight right here. If you didn't stay up, and you should have, because this was, I admit, it was entertaining. It was bizarre. It was wild. We have 330 million people in this country, and they do the shot of the crowd like beforehand, and then it is embarrassing that these are the people. These are the 535 senators and representatives and cabinet members and Supreme Court. And they're all like 100 years old, and they're all hunched over, and they don't even have to clap. And it's just like it's like, you know, Keno hour at the Sunshine Home. This is the best we can do. These old, shuffling, arthritis ridden fossils. That's who's representing us. We need term limits. We need age limits. We need something. It's just uncomfortable to watch these people, you know, many of whom will not be here in 5 years, 10 years. And they're the ones governing us, running the country. We have to do something about that. But this exchange was the highlight. Let's get to Marjorie Taylor Greene jumping right on Joe Biden when he started talking about immigration. Go ahead.
I'd be a winner. Not really. Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand.
All right, let's go through this first of all. He says Lincoln Riley, again, coach of the USC football team. Secondly, his response is, she was killed by an illegal. How many thousands have been killed by illegals? What?
Yeah, she's no big deal.
That's the problem. Your open borders had led to the death of thousands of Americans, whether they're murdered like Lincoln Riley or they get poisoned with fentanyl. The problem is your open border. And he says, yeah, but thousands have been killed. Yeah, they have, you buffoon. You utter embarrassment. Then he looks up to the gallery and says, my heart goes out to the parents, because I've had, you know, I'm surprised he didn't say that Bo was murdered by an illegal alien.
That was on the tip of his tongue for sure.
I don't think her parents are there. They were invited. They aren't there. Mm-mm. He looks up to talk to them. They're not there. They left an empty seat. I believe it was Mike Collins from Georgia. Invited the parents. He'd been talking to them every day. He was not speaking out of school. They just said, no, we don't want to come. We're grieving. He said, fine, I'm going to leave an empty seat in honor of your daughter. He looks up and addresses them, and they're not there. Once again, Joe Biden is talking to ghosts. And this threw him off. This got him rattled, because he got heckled a number of times after this, and he would continue to like stop and exchange and look around. And as soon as he stops reading the teleprompter, look out. It's time to call AAA, man. He needs help. The people who blocked the road and the scumbags, the pro-Hamas protesters who were outside the Capitol blocking the motorcade, delaying Biden from getting to the Capitol. None of them been arrested. In fact, one of them got arrested. And he was, it's the third time he's been arrested at a pro-Hamas demonstration. So they don't do time. This is obstructing an official proceeding. This is an insurrection. But they will get, you know, booked and whatever, handed a ticket, and they'll be free to do it again tomorrow. Anyway, that was the highlight of the night, thanks to Marjorie Taylor Greene. He was not heckled from the left. I expected
squad,
Tlaib, Omar. I expected the squad to start yelling when he started talking about Hamas and Israel. Mm. And he said he's always been pro-Israel, but they must, you know, cease fire and everything. You know, he played both sides, of course. And we are going to build a port in Gaza. There's been a lot of really bad ideas from Joe Biden in 3 years. This could be the worst. Build a port in Gaza. I have a couple questions. Why don't they already have one? They get billions in aid from the U.S. and Europe. Why don't they already have a beautiful port? Secondly, are American Marines, American servicemen going to be the ones building the port? Well, if they are, one of them is going to die, maybe more than one. There's going to be American casualties if there are Americans in Gaza. And then what? We're sending money and troops to Gaza to build a port and weapons to Israel. So we got one side, we're giving them weapons. The other side, we're giving them money and troops and a port. It's Joe Biden trying to be everyone. He's trying to placate his voters in Dearborn, Michigan. And that is going to get an American or more than one killed. You watch. These next 8 months are going to be a little dicey with Joe Biden and the various hot spots, the various disaster spots around the globe. But that's the takeaway. You'll hear a lot about that one. But the whole thing, the whole speech was just, an hour and 8 minutes of a campaign ad for Donald Trump is what it was. Because nobody, aside from, you know, Joe Scarborough and, you know, maybe Jake Tapper, can watch what we watched last night and say that man can do 4 more years. There's a great new ad from one of the Trump super PACs. In fact, it played right after the speech where they say, they show Biden stumbling and wandering around stage and say, will he even be around in 2025, 2026, 2027, 2028? It's a good question. Will this man be standing? Will he be upright in 2, 3, 4 years? The idea of reelecting him is insane. I mean, unless you want Kamala Harris. And by the way, why can't Democrats clap? Kamala Harris, Jill Biden, Chuck Schumer, they can't clap. They don't just clap. It's like, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden said, quote, there is no place in this country for political violence, when he was playing the same song, talking about January 6th, talking about the insurrection. Kamala Harris bolted out of her chair and clapped. Kamala Harris bailed out the rioters in Minnesota in the George Floyd riots.
Yep.
She was interviewed. She said, they won't stop and they shouldn't stop. At this point, they burned down a police station. People had died. Thousands of cops were injured. She said they shouldn't stop. And this woman, I mean, she's not smart enough to even put the thing together, but this woman is cheering when Joe Biden says, there's no place for political violence. He spent, I don't know, 2/3 of the speech talking about my predecessor, threats to democracy. He actually, at the end, says that this can't be about revenge and division and you know, vitriol and all these things after an hour and 8 minutes of talking about revenge and division and hate. It's amazing he can do that. I mean, I know he's not all there, but he can do that with a straight face. Talk about his predecessor is looking for revenge. And he can just say things like, I cut the deficit. He cut the deficit? I mean, it's just, he just doesn't have any moral gauge, no governor. He just doesn't have any hesitation when it comes to gaslighting and lying to the country. That's what we've seen for 3 years. That's what we saw last night. It was an amazingly dishonest, devious, divisive, duplicitous performance. He stayed to the end. He didn't fall down.
Nope.
He didn't try to lick the microphone like an ice cream cone. So Joe Scarborough and all his fans and the media will declare it a victory. It was nothing of the sort. There is nothing more dishonest than people telling you that he was strong and vigorous and energetic. He was none of that. It was a disaster.
Yeah, he was talking about bringing the deficit down. He also said inflation was at 3%.
Oh, no.
Which is the biggest lie of all time. It's like 18%.
Inflation, the deficit, inflation. I mean, he doesn't. That's the problem. He doesn't mind just lying. He doesn't care. It doesn't slow him down at all. Yeah, I brought the deficit down. And you're going, what? Yeah, I just saw the deficit. Thomas Massie has it on his pocket. He has this thing that has the deficit all lit up. He has the debt all lit up. You brought nothing down. All he does is promise to spend. And you're going, wait a second. We've been spending for 3 years. We can't keep spending. And he just lies. It's just an amazing disconnect between reality and Biden, reality and the mainstream media. What they tell you, what they will tell you today, what they will tell you all weekend on the Sunday shows, it's just lies. I mean, they will defend this man to the end, and hopefully the end will be November 5th. I think Trump has to let this sit. Trump shouldn't come out and do a speech. He shouldn't come out and rant and rave. The rebuttal was delivered by Katie Britt from Alabama. I thought it was a bad idea. She's young. She's first term. She's beautiful, but she's new. And she's, you know, I thought they needed someone more, you know, forceful. She was excellent. She was great. She was sitting in her kitchen in Alabama, and she was talking, and she looked great, of course. And she was the opposite of Biden. She was young and articulate and relatable. It was a good idea. It was a masterstroke to put her out there to contrast her from Joe Biden. I thought it was a great idea. But I don't know what Biden does from here. I don't know how they clean this up. They will tell him to not be so angry and not keep yelling, but he can't. He just can't function. I mean, he can't do the job anymore. He has 8 months to go. We have to hold on for 8 months and hope the world doesn't explode. We have to hold on for 8 months and hope that we don't get another 9 million illegal aliens. We got to hope there's not thousands more Lake and Rileys. But to me, it's going to be hard enough to get to November or get to January. How does anyone, any honest person, think this man could do this till 2029? 2029. If he wins, he gets four more of these, you know, of State of the Unions. He gets trips around the world, meeting with world leaders, G7 summits. He can't do it. It's insane that he's even in this position in the first place. There's got to be better people, a better answer than this old cranky fool. Anyway, we got some more highlights here. Ironhead, what do you got?
Yeah, I got a few clips. Here's the one we were just talking about. I might as well play it. The inflation comments.
Wages keep going up. Inflation keeps coming down. Inflation has dropped from 9% to 3%, the lowest in the world, and tending lower.
Okay, that's higher than Trump. Under Trump, it was 1.8, 1.9. Mm-hmm. He wants to talk about Trump's, you know, unemployment rate because of COVID.
Right.
But he won't talk about Trump's inflation rate. And the 9% inflation was because of him, spending trillions and trillions, pumping trillions and trillions in the economy. And everybody knows it. I mean, everybody knows it. That's the one thing that they can't get away from. Everybody goes to the grocery store. Everybody goes to the gas station. They buy cars. They pay insurance bills. Everybody knows that the prices are out of control. He doesn't know. He doesn't know anything.
No.
But everybody knows. That's why Katie Britt talked about that, because he can't go there. He can't talk about prices. Wages are down. Prices are way, way up. And they can't escape that. They can lie about whatever, lie about the deficit. They can lie about, you know, Putin marching into Poland. But they can't lie about the price of bread or the price of milk and gas. So that won't work. That can't work. What else?
He did talk about COVID and what the vaccine's doing now, if you want to hear that.
I like this one.
The vaccine that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer, turning setback into comeback.
You know what's amazing? He and before he won won in 2020, he said that he would cure cancer. He said it the next year. He said it the next year. And he said it last night. We will cure cancer. I mean, does anybody in his group, his circle, who any of the puppeteers, do they say, that's a little bit much, Joe? Cure cancer? He has 8 months to go. And last night he said he would cure cancer. I mean, I know I'm a cynical guy. I'm going to say, I don't believe it. I don't think Joe Biden is going to cure cancer. But he also mentioned he went off on the price of whatever, insulin, drugs. And he said that he took on Big Pharma. This one drives me nuts.
Yep.
He took on Big Pharma. Big Pharma had the greatest 3 years it's ever had. Pfizer, Moderna, these companies made a fortune. There's like 40 new billionaires who work for Pfizer because of the forced vaccine, because of Joe Biden, Fauci, and Trump. These people are just fabulously wealthy today. Big Pharma, this is the greatest friend Big Pharma has ever had, Joe Biden. And he brags, we took on Big Pharma. You did nothing of the sort. But then he talked about flying around the world to different cities that you could go to. Mm-hmm. And you could go with him and you could buy drugs for less than you pay here. Let's hear that one.
Get in trouble for saying that, but anyone to get an Air Force One and fly to Toronto, Berlin, Moscow. I mean, excuse me. Even Moscow, probably.
You could fly to Moscow and get cheaper drugs. Mm-hmm. And I know he says, you know, Republicans want to cut Social Security, which is a lie. And he says it over and over. He does not mind. That's why they like him. A normal person would have some hesitation to just stand there and lie to the world. But he doesn't mind it at all. Doesn't slow him down at all. You know, if he has to, he lies about his, you know, dead son. He lies about anything. And then then he goes on and on about the rich don't pay their fair share in taxes. You know who doesn't pay their fair share? The Biden family. They don't pay taxes.
That's
Hunter
right.
Biden doesn't pay taxes. Joe Biden doesn't pay taxes. And yet he says, oh, it's the rich, the rich, the rich. We could take every nickel from all the billionaires. It wouldn't put a dent in the debt or the deficit. It's just such a lie designed to influence simple-minded people who say, oh, yeah, those damn rich. It's those rich. They're the ones screwing me. He didn't mention East Palestine. He didn't mention Eagle Pass. He didn't mention working-class towns that are under siege under his watch. They don't matter. Him. They don't matter at all. He just he's a coastal elite. He always has been. And he demonizes the billionaires, but they support him, you know, because they know it's all bullshit. But anyway, it was an unmitigated disaster, which I'm glad we got to do this early, because it got out ahead of all the bullshit you're going to hear tomorrow and all weekend and all whatever the next 8 months. He is just unfit for office. And I was glad to hear him heckled. He deserved it. I like that. We need more of that. We need more heckling.
He also was heckled by the teleprompter, if you want to hear that.
Oh, that's true. The teleprompter. He struggled. Like I said, let me try to get the count of, I saw this Twitter guy counting the slurred words, and it's a lot, but go ahead.
January 6th lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War.
I have no idea what he was trying to say there.
Greatest threat to democracy since the Civil War. What? A three-hour riot. Since the Civil War, there's been, I don't know, World War One, World War Two, Pearl Harbor, 9/11.
January 6th is right up there, though.
January 6th is the worst thing since... Oh, here we go. You want to guess the slurred words? We got the number.
Is it three digits?
Yes.
Okay. 137.
Good guess. 113.
Oh, damn.
In 108 minutes, he had 113 slurred words. Kevin McCarthy said there was a point in one of Clinton's, was it Clinton or Obama? It must have been Obama, where the teleprompter went down and he did it out of memory, looking at his notes for, I don't know, 10 minutes. And he said he got it. He nailed it. Can you imagine if the teleprompter went down on Joe Biden?
No. Obama, I mean, say what you want. He's a smart guy.
He's a good speaker.
Yeah.
He was a great teleprompter reader.
Oh, yeah.
He probably went a whole State of the Union without one slurred word.
Probably.
113 slurred words from this cadaver, this vegetable in the White House. But
one last clip. And this, I just thought, was an extremely weird exchange with the Supreme Court. Did you remember? Did you catch this?
This is against protocol. You're not supposed to attack the Supreme Court. They're supposed to sit there with on their hands. They don't clap. Mm-hmm. And you're not supposed to go at them in this, you know, revered setting. But he did, of course, because of Roe v. Wade. Let's hear it.
And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you are.
She's threatening them? Like, what the hell is that?
This is so stupid. When they repeal Roe v. Wade, it goes to the states. That means the states decide. That means the voters decide. If the Supreme Court decides, that means the voters don't decide. So you can be pro-abortion or anti-abortion. What happened last year when they took away Roe v. Wade is the voters got to decide. If the voters in Alabama or Mississippi don't want abortion, then they don't have to have abortion. In New York, Massachusetts, then they can have it. It's up to the voters, the women voters. The idea that that's stripping you of your rights because the voters decide. I mean, you don't have to like it, but that's democracy. You know, that's your sacred democracy. I was disappointed that the crazy pro-Hamas crew didn't heckle him. I was hoping they would go at him, but they did, you know, block the street, which slowed him down a little bit. I would have, I would have said something nice about Biden if the motorcade just ran over them. That would have been good. Just ran over those pro Hamas scumbags. But anyway, that is our review of the last State of the Union from Joe Biden. God, please. I'm gonna watch MSNBC. Joe Scarborough earlier this week. He had a new low. I mean, by anybody, not just him, anybody. When he said, this is the best Joe Biden, mentally, cognitively, the best Biden's ever been. And he said it with a straight face. I've never seen anybody just lie like that to the camera. He is so in the tank. It is embarrassing now, but it is entertaining. So keep it up, Joe. But before we go, let's make a bet, Ironhead. You and I are both into this. I got to admit, I'm into it.
I mean, I was Jake into Paul, it last time you did Tyson. It. Yeah.
Huh?
When Tyson fought, I forget who he fought like a couple of years ago. I was so into it. I wanted to see Tyson knock someone out. Is it Oscar De La Hoya or someone like that?
He's great to watch. Yeah. He's just, I mean, he's 50. He'll be 58. These two are going to fight in July. It's going to be on Netflix, and it is going to be the biggest freaking deal. Everybody's going to watch. It's not pay-per-view. If you have Netflix, you're watching. If your neighbor has Netflix, you're going over their house. Everybody's watching. My initial reaction is Tyson will kill him because he's Tyson.
Right.
And he's still in good shape.
Yep.
We've seen that video of him working out now. He is a monster. But he is 30-something years old. He's scary still. He is scary. Tough. And he is, you know, Mike Tyson. So my initial reaction is I'll take Tyson. But you have to give me some odds here, some points. Jake Paul is a big favorite.
Yep.
-350 according to BetUS for the July match, July 20th.
So Jake Paul does all these exhibition fights, some against UFC fighters, but he's fought some professional boxers.
He's a real fighter.
He's been killing them too. Not even just
I heard Joe Rogan break it down, and he says he's the real deal.
Yeah.
So he's a heavy favorite. And obviously when you're 58, you can't go, you know, how many rounds is it anyway? I should know this.
I don't know. It was Tyson's last fight was in, it was, I think, 5 years ago or something versus Roy Jones Jr. It was like 8-round exhibition.
He's 27, so he's 30 years older than Tyson's 30 years older. You can't last. If you're 58, you just can't last. Trust me, your legs go, your lungs go.
Yep.
So if Tyson doesn't hit him early, he's done. But I'm going to root for Tyson.
I just don't want to see Tyson get knocked out. That's all I need.
Jake Paul against real boxers. You know what his record is?
2-0.
2-1.
2-1.
He lost to Tommy Fury. That's it. 2-1.
Yep.
But
he lost to Tommy Fury, and that was a questionable decision, if I recall.
So you're taking Jake Paul.
I have to until you. I don't know. I feel weird betting against Tyson. I don't care how old he is.
All right, we'll bet $10.
All right, $10.
$10 it is. All right, we'll leave it there. This is a special edition of the Callahan Show. I had to react. Yes, and Ironhead doesn't like staying up this late, but he is ramped up on Callahan coffee.
So much so. Maybe every
that's
morning.
That's what Biden was on, you think?
It could have been. A lot of caffeine.
I would like to know what Biden was on. This is a guy who goes to bed like at 8 o'clock every night. This is a guy who's out of it in noontime.
Yeah, he gets
was wired. As he likes to describe the January 6th protesters, their veins were bulging, his eyes were popping out of his skull.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to know. We'll never know. But I'd love to know what they use to get Biden all amped up.
Biden went to CallahanCoffee.com and he ordered himself a pound.
CallahanCoffee.com. Get some Callahan coffee and get a little Zen, a little Callahan coffee, and you're ready to go.
That's what I'm talking about. But yeah, no, I think he just, you know, he lays down in his casket and there's just IV bags everywhere, and someone just comes every 45 minutes and
boom, pops up. Yeah. We gotta go.
Exactly.
Did you see when he left the White House? He goes out to the limo, and someone's up on the balcony saying, "Good luck, good luck." You know what he did? You know what he said?
He'd jump on the ground.
He said, "Don't jump.
Did
don't
he again? Jump. Oh,
again.
My God.
Don't jump." There's only like 8 thoughts in that head, in that, you know, calcified brain. Don't jump.
This is his favorite
just,
one.
He's just so far gone. But hey, 8 more months should be interesting. We're going to try to do this again next week. That's an update. I'm still, you know, doing my voice exercises and recuperating and recovering. But we'll see how it goes. See how I feel. How did this go, Ironhead? Okay.
I think it went great. You're mid-season form right now.
Yeah.
Back to normal.
Stuff is going on, too. I'm looking forward to it. I miss so much. Damn, I missed a lot of, I mean, a lot of stuff.
When you went away, I think, the day Israel got invaded. I think that was the last day.
I came back for a couple of quickies and just so much going on. These protesters, it's just, the country's gone nuts. Hopefully we'll be back and we'll be here to discuss it all next week. But we'll leave it there for now, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Show. And we'll try to do it again next week.